For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. In many facets of our lives, we are constantly bombarded by information that is false, and acting on that false information can be injurious to our health and to the health of those around us. My guest today is Kurt Anderson, best-selling author of the novels Heyday, Turn of the Century, and True Believers. He contributes to Vanity Fair and the New York Times and is host and co-creator of Studio 360, the Peabody Award-winning public radio show and podcast. He's recently published a new book, Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, a 500-year history, and I sat down and talked with him about how believing in false information can negatively impact us. Is this something primarily that Americans face, or is this a universal phenomenon?
Well, it's not unique to America, but as in so many of the things I talk about in Fantasyland, in the developed world, our propensity for believing in the untrue or the unprovable, and in consequential ways, as in public health and medicine, we are outliers. And of course, it's a 500-year history. We have a long history in the United States of America of inventing, selling, and buying medical nostrums, patent medicines, all kinds of quackeries that it looked like, as you look back at the history, that in the early 20th century, and as the 20th century proceeded, it looked like we were getting rid of that, and that science was triumphing, and evidence-based medicine was triumphing. And then, as you know better than I, really beginning in the 1960s and then blowing up later in the century, that wasn't so true. And there is alternative medicine, some of which, not all of which is quackery, not all of which is untrue, but certainly this willingness on the part of Americans to believe in essentially magical cures really has blown up like mad, and more here than elsewhere, yes.
My guest today is Kurt Anderson, author of the new book Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, a 500-year history, talking about how susceptible many of us are to beliefs based upon no facts whatsoever and how that can negatively impact our health. You know, and one of the things I was thinking about as I was reading your book is many times in conversation, people tend to see things through a political lens these days, now more than ever, or at least we're on that pendulum where we've swung back to using politics as a lens. And yet this type of fantasy is in no way restricted to one side or the other of the political spectrum, thinking particularly of your chapter about liberals denying science, looking at anti-vaxxers, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. The anti-vaccine movement really is a very bipartisan movement with its one of its main promoters as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., of course, from the left. But, yeah, it is a place where medicine in particular, as opposed to some other fanciful theories about how life works, is not at all left or right only, and that's an interesting case. The anti-vaccine movement, which began as more of a kind of on the liberal side of things, and has over the last 20 years, as it has continued despite all evidence to the contrary scientifically, has become more of a thing on the right as well. So, yeah, it's not only plenty of liberals are selectively science deniers as well as people on the right.
Well, there was one paragraph that just figuratively leapt off of the page as I read it, and if you'll indulge me, it's just a couple of sentences long. The false belief that vaccines cause autism and other terrible illnesses derives from familiar sources, a misplaced nostalgia for the past, excessive mistrust of experts, the conviction that some vicious conspiracy is behind everything bad, and the gatekeeper-free internet. When I read that, I thought this is the perfect storm for these types of fantasies.
Well, exactly. And that's why I spent as much time as I did on it, because those several threads that it embodies, that this big false belief embodies, are most of or more than half of the big threads that I trace in so many realms beyond medicine and health. So yeah, that's the problem in a nutshell. And here again, as you know better than I mean, it's not just people pursuing their own kooky ideas privately. It doesn't affect the rest of us. This affects the rest of us. And that's when what I call fantasy land becomes problematic. When it's not just people pursuing their own beliefs, which may or may not be true, in the privacy of their homes.
Well, certainly, you do discuss herd immunity, which we've talked about on this show before, and the talking about vaccines. And then, you know, I thought of your discussion of homeopathy and parents who may elect not to get children treated for infectious disease. And this seems to go so far beyond medicine in your book, where so many Americans believe that, for instance, extraterrestrials are amongst us. And
right. That
sort of magical thinking, when it permeates every facet of a person's life and they become detached from science, I guess I scratch my head. You know, I like drinking tap water that's been treated so that I don't die. I guess there are people that just don't think about that everyday science that allows us to live quality lives.
Well, they don't, and the problem is too, and there's plenty of scholarly research to support this, that once individuals start believing one set of untrue facts in one area, they become more predisposed to believe the next and the next and the next. There's a kind of cascading effect, and in the internet age, that's obviously more true than ever, because even though there is no coherent body of alternative fantasy magical thinking science, it effectively becomes that in that media infrastructure of the internet.
My guest today is Kurt Anderson, author of the new book, Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, a 500-year history, talking about how susceptible many of us are to beliefs based upon no facts whatsoever and how that can negatively impact our health. I know you touched on this in your book and just a moment ago. Of course, this type of fantasy living is not necessarily restricted to Americans, but is there something unique in our psyche that prepares us in a way to be a fertile field for these types of magical thinkings?
Well, I think that, yes, there are several. And again, that was the inquiry that began this book. I think many of them begin as fine things and become, to use a kind of medical metaphor, kind of latent seeds in our bloodstream that then become flower too extremely and become too dominant. The anti-establishment impulse in the American character, which has been here from the very beginning. You know, our earliest settlers from England were fleeing what they felt was persecution, and the skepticism of the Enlightenment, which, you know, we were an Enlightenment country created in the 18th century as the Enlightenment flowered. Well, anti-establishment impulse, skepticism, great, but when they become too extreme, they lead us into these problematic places where nothing is, where you don't believe anything that you don't want to believe or that the establishment tells you, and those impulses were all kept I think in pretty good balance and check for several centuries until around the 1960s when they got out of hand and excessive. So I think that led us to that. I think some my belief is that some of America's and Americans' extreme and unusual religiosity probably feeds it as well. But there are lots of threads that have lead Americans to believing the untrue and not taking science seriously when they'd rather not.
Do you see any, going forward, any thing that we can be doing as citizens, as educators, as writers, to try to steer our culture back into being, for lack of better phrases, fact-based and using the scientific method to live our lives.
Well, that's exactly the challenge. And I think programs like yours in its way, books like mine in their small way, and so people in the public sphere cannot be as, frankly, as tolerant of hogwash as we've been and for the last few decades. I think people, though, in their private lives, too, as they raise their children and teach their grandchildren, I think the there's a real importance to talk about distinguishing the true from the dubious from the false. That's as important as teaching them this is bad behavior or this is good behavior, or this is foolish and this is wise. I really think in this day and age especially, that's become incumbent upon all of us. And just in your private life with your friends and your family, maybe instead of just shaking your head and smiling when your friend proposes some ridiculously insupportable assertion, if in a friendly way, call them out and say, no, that's not true. Here's the facts.
My thanks today to Kurt Anderson, author of Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, A 500-Year History. As always, for more information, visit our website at WUKY.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at WUKY.org.